Today, Pastor Ray Bentley points out Paul's instruction that the use of spiritual gifts should edify the full body of Christ.
But if someone speaks in tongues, that's a good thing, but he is only individually edified. So Paul is saying in the church setting, hey, no problem with tongues, but I rather that you would prophesy of the Word of God. It goes hand in hand with teaching so that the whole church could be edified.
Spread the news. All of his people come and bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The longer we walk with the Lord, the more we realize that the guidelines he gives us in Scripture are beneficial. They're not to diminish our fulfillment. And so it goes with the Lord's instructions regarding the use of spiritual gifts. Today, we'll focus in on the gift of tongues and how it's to be used or not.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this is a tough chapter. But I do think there are some practical things that Paul shares here that are helpful. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and then in chapter 13, Paul talks about love has to be the motivation for the exercise of the gifts. And now in chapter 14, he's going to zero in on two particular gifts. So in verse 1, he says, pursue love. After talking about love, in chapter 13, he goes, now pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And if you go back to the last verse of chapter 12, he said it again, earnestly desire the best gifts, but I show you a more excellent way. And he starts talking about love. Now he picks up with the theme again in verse 1 of chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So Paul is saying it's good to desire the gifts, but he said if you're going to desire the gifts, desire the best gifts. And in his estimation, the best gifts are the ones that edify the largest amount of people. And that would be the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is, when we think of prophecy, we think of foretelling the future. But essentially, prophecy means forthtelling. It is the proclaiming of the Word of God. It goes hand in hand with teaching. And so that's the gift of prophecy. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it benefits many people. But if someone speaks in tongues, he individually is speaking and communicating to God. That's a good thing, but he is only, or she is only individually edified. So Paul is saying in a church setting, prophecy is to be preferred. But about tongues, it's interesting to note that he says in verse 2, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. And the gift of tongues, as we've mentioned before, is that gift where whenever you are in a place, have you ever been in a place where there is more inside of your heart? You feel more inside than you can express in English. Because when you think about it, the English language is very limited. It's a kind of a simplified language. It's a borrowed language from other languages. The Greek is much more exact and precise. And they have three different words for love. We have one word for love. We say, I love hamburgers, I love ice cream, I love God. You know, you put those things together. Isn't there a difference between these kinds of love? And there is. So when we think about wanting to communicate to God sometimes what we're feeling, we find that our language is somewhat restricting. It's almost like a bottleneck. So God has given to some. Do all speak with tongues? No. But to some is given this gift of tongues where you bypass basically your intellect, not your mind, but your intellect, and you go straight from your heart and you worship God for all the blessings and all the gifts and all the grace and all of the mercy. And it's in words you don't understand, but it's like a river that flows from deep inside as you just meditate on the goodness of God and the grace of God and the love of God. It's a beautiful, wonderful, marvelous gift. But for those who do not have the gift, we're not left out. You're not a second-class citizen. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Paul said, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And so this tells us that for all believers, we all have the help of the Holy Spirit when we pray. It's not just in the gift of tongues that those who have that gift are able to pray in the Spirit according to the will of God. All believers, when you pray, and there will come times, even if you don't have the gift of tongues, you can't express it in words. And so you groan. Oh, sometimes a groan is frustration. It can be a combination of feelings. And sometimes it's just a yearning, a hunger, a thirst. Sometimes it's a sigh of relief or of blessing. But the Holy Spirit helps us. And so there is then that gift of tongues, though, for those who have it, and they speak to God, and no one understands them. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So Paul says, we are to desire the gifts. I would rather, especially, that you desire prophecy. And then in verse 3, he continues on. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now, here he's talking about the broader benefits of prophecy. And again, the proclaiming of God's word and the speaking forth of God's word and the promises of God. It does three things. Number one, it edifies. It builds us up in our faith. And the second thing that it does is exhortation, or I think the New International Version has encouragement. It encourages us. God has worked this way in the past, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is at work in your life. And he knows your circumstances, and you're in his hands, and he has a plan for you. And here is the promise of God. And you listen to it, and all of a sudden you find your heart being stirred up and being encouraged to trust in the Lord and to love the Lord and seek the Lord and honor the Lord. And so the gift of prophecy not only builds us up in our understanding, but it encourages our hearts. And then thirdly, it brings comfort. There is the comfort that comes through proclaiming God's word and the prophetic ministry. It just brings that sense of comfort. The Lord is with us and the Lord is here and his word comes alive. And like the two on the road to Emmaus, my, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures. And so prophecy, Paul says, is able to build up, it's able to encourage, it's able to comfort men. Now, in contrast, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. But he who prophesies edifies essentially the whole church. So Paul is again contrasting these two gifts, probably because what was happening in Corinth is that all those who had the gift of tongues were coming in, and they were all speaking at once and all together out loud in tongues. And so all those who did that, they were being blessed. But apparently that was kind of the predominance of the service. Prophecy, or the proclaiming of God's word, was getting kind of pushed aside. And there were those who did not have the gift of tongues, and they were leaving church going, well, I didn't understand, and it seemed like some people were blessed, but I didn't get much out of it. So Paul is, again, contrasting the broader benefits of prophecy and the individual blessing, and that's kind of where he's headed, is that when the church as an assembly comes together, let prophecy have preeminence. And in your own private, personal devotions there, pray in the Spirit, pray from your heart, whether it's in tongues, whether it's in groanings that cannot be uttered. And so he says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, So he doesn't want you to think he's denigrating the gift of tongues. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more, Paul says, I wish that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So he says, no problem with tongues. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but I rather that you would prophesy and that you had that gift of prophecy so that the whole church could be edified. And then he says, beginning in verse 6, then if you're going to have tongues, then they must be interpreted. And so beginning in verse 6, he says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? In other words, Paul says, if I come to you and all I do is speak in tongues. In other words, you have the Apostle Paul visit your church. And Paul came. Oh, the Apostle Paul came? Well, what happened? Well, he spoke in tongues. Well, what did he say? Well, I don't know. Because he spoke in tongues I didn't understand. Oh, well, that's interesting. But nobody's blessed because they didn't understand it without an interpretation. And even beyond that, he says, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching? Paul says that the benefit of me coming to your church will be far greater if I give you a revelation from the Lord, if I give you knowledge and understanding, if I prophesy to you understanding of the Word of God, or if I teach you. That's what. And so what we kind of take for granted now as a study in the Word of God was not so established in the early time of the church. And so Paul was even then now beginning to give it some definition and some clarity and kind of wanting tongues to be something that was in the personal private devotions. And though allowed, which he'll talk about some allowances in a moment, there needed to be interpretation. But he said the preference would be that I would come with a revelation, I would come with knowledge, I would prophesy, I would teach. And all of these things are found as we proclaim God's word. Now again, he talks about tongues in verse 7. He says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? And he's a little bit saying, if you are just playing notes and you don't have any melody, what you're just making noise. And so also tongues without interpretation, he's connecting those dots. In verse 8, he says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So, you know, in an army, they have certain sounds. You have a certain sound for waking up. You have another sound for going to battle. You have another sound for retreat. You have another sound for charge, you know. And here's the little trumpet sound. But I digress. Anyway, making sounds. You got to know what it means. And so what if instead of, you know, the guy playing the sound to charge or to retreat, what if the guy that had the trumpet just started making up his own thing? He's just, and the guys are looking around, well, what does that mean? Do we leave? Do we go? Do we eat? Do we sleep? I mean, they don't know. And so that's what Paul is saying. It's just people speaking in tongues is just noise. It has no benefit other than to the individual who is speaking in tongues. So, verse 9, he begins to clarify. So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. In other words, don't just come to show, hey, I have the gift of tongues and I can speak in tongues. Seek the gifts that are going to bless everybody. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well when you speak in tongues, but the other is not edified. And then, again, lest you think that Paul is denigrating tongues, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. In other words, he said, when the church gathers, five words of teaching are better than 10,000 words of tongues, because only the individual tongues speaker is going to be edified. But if I speak few words of, you know, let's seek the Lord, for he is good. Everybody hears that. Everybody understands that. Everybody begins seeking the Lord. Everybody begins meditating on he is good, and they are all blessed. He says in verse 20, let's look at this. Tongues is a sign. Here he gives the explanation. Tongues is a sign to unbelievers. He says in verse 20, now, brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Here Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah, and it's on Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. In those days, Isaiah was prophesying to Israel that if you don't repent, God is going to bring judgment, and he's going to remove you from the land of Israel, and the temple will be destroyed. Essentially. And there were other supposed prophets that said, no, Isaiah's wrong. That's not from God. God would never allow his land to be overtaken. He would never allow his temple to be destroyed. That's not true. Isaiah is kind of like a kindergarten teacher. He's real simplistic. And they were mocking him. They were teasing him, saying, if you listen to Isaiah, don't listen to Isaiah. He's like a baby teacher, line upon line, precept upon precept. And they were trying to complicate things. No, this is not going to happen. The enemies won't come. And so the Lord, as his prophet Isaiah spoke to them, said, I am speaking to them through Isaiah, my servant, in Hebrew, which they understand. But they're not listening to me. And therefore, I will speak to them in other tongues that they won't understand. And the tongues they will hear that they won't understand are the invading armies that are going to fulfill the word I gave to Isaiah. They didn't listen. And so the tongues of the foreigners came, and that was the fulfillment. So tongues was a sign to the Jews in the Old Testament of judgment. It was a sign of their unbelief. So it's a sign to the unbelievers. But now we move to the New Testament, New Covenant, Acts chapter 2. And we have all these Jews who have gathered from all over the world, and there they are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And now 120 are in an upper room, and they are baptized in the fire of the Holy Spirit and cloven tongues of fire. They go outside, and they begin to speak in all these languages that are listed. In Acts chapter 2, the wonderful works of God, they're speaking in other tongues. And then Peter gets up and preaches, and 3,000 unbelieving Jews become believers. So, into the Old Testament, tongues was a sign of judgment. On the day the law was given, 3,000 died. In the New Covenant, tongues is a sign of God's forgiveness and grace to those who are unbelievers. And 3,000 are saved and brought into the family. So I think that kind of explains why it was a sign, especially to the Jews. They thought that they were drunk, and Peter said, no, they're not drunk. This is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. So in verse 22, he says, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. And that would be specifically to the Jewish unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe, teaching the word. Now, after clarifying that for us, Paul confuses us in the very next verse. Verse 23, he says, "Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind?" And now I want to say, Paul, you're out of your mind, because you just said that tongues are for unbelievers, right? Now unbelievers come in, and he says, well, they're going to hear that and think you're crazy. So what is he saying here? And I believe that there is a transition. In verse 21, he's talking about and quoting a prophecy related to the Jews. It was a sign to the unbelieving Jews who became believers. But in the church now, in Corinth, we are in the country of Greece. These are Gentiles. As Gentiles, they don't have the prophecies of Isaiah. The tongues mean nothing to them. It wasn't given to them. It was given to the Jews. So unbelieving Greeks come into a church. They hear all these different languages, don't understand, and as unbelievers, they're turned off and turned away. So it's probably two different audiences that Paul has in mind. Then in verse 24, he says, "But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you." So Paul is saying that the sign to the unbelieving Jews has been fulfilled. And whatever other Jews there are, it will be assigned to them. But to many of the Gentiles who are now kind of taking over the church, for many of them, it just is confusion to them. It turns them away. So Paul says, therefore, again, want to stress that prophecy, the proclaiming of the word of God, is to be preeminent within the service. Because if you're preaching the word of God and an unbeliever comes in, he might listen, hear the word, be convicted in his heart, fall on his face, and give God the glory.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out the dynamics of using spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues, within the context of the church. Important insight from 1 Corinthians today, here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, All Things in Order. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, that title, All Things in Order. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in the book of 1 Corinthians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, recently we've been talking about an opportunity our listeners have to partner with us here in the ministry. And you've said that there's a shift globally. I think you've characterized it as a kind of changing face of Christianity on a global level. Explain that.
Yeah, Dave. Today, the largest Christian communities on the planet are actually in Africa. They are in Latin America, or they might even be in Asia. The face of Christianity is really moving into the third world. That's the front edge of the wave of the move of the Holy Spirit. So we're inviting people, hey, how would you like to partner with us for just $12 a month and help bring the gospel, the whole gospel, to the very front edges of the spiritual battle, to the very front edge of the wave of the move of the Holy Spirit in the world? It seems like those who are poor are more open, they're more humble, they're more teachable, obviously they're more desperate, and that's exactly where the gospel is going and being received the most. So we're asking people, how would you like to help partner with us? I mean, we're spoiled in many ways. We're blessed beyond our imagination here in the United States. But for $12 a month, something that's so available and affordable to the average, you know, Christian, for $12 a month, help us bring the teaching of God's word that's bringing salvations, that's bringing transformation, that is assisting what God is already doing around the world, and especially in the third world.
Well, what a great opportunity to use some of the Lord's money for the Lord's work. Your gift can reach around the world and change a life. Let us invite you to make your first gift today. You can do it quickly online at maranatharadio.com. We'll be glad to take care of all the details. Or write to us with that first contribution at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And again, that web address, maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of 1 Corinthians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.